married as fuck in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. We both work full-time and also constantly running on rounds and jiu-jitsu, baseball, basketball, and football activities for our boys. But we always make time for each other. We talk about life and our marriage, how to make it work by staying positive and remembering the life. Through better worse, health issues, family problems, money struggles, and whatever other shit life throws us.
Yo, what up? We're back. Episode number 4.
What was that thing you said last time? Hugga-dugga.
Hugga-dugga. Yeah, no one picked. I was hoping somebody would ask about where that's from besides Brooke.
The most obscure. I mean, it's from Breakfast Club, by the way.
Absolutely.
One of my top 5 movies. And I had no fucking clue what he was talking about. So he had to shove it in my face with a YouTube of the exact scene of the principal in the hallway, popping his collar in the reflection of like the fire extinguisher thing. And sure as fuck, he says, hugga dugga, whatever. It's the most obscure, stupid ass clip. But in case anybody was wondering,
that's where it's from.
That's where it's from.
Well, speaking of dumb, I was going to tell you about my ride home from taking Griffin back to Alabama. And, you know, I was stuck in traffic, of course, when I got right by the house. And I was behind a guy in a little convertible. It was like a Sebring or something. And he had a girl in the car. They were about the same age, so I just assumed it was a girlfriend or wife or something like that. And he was smoking like a regular, you know, cigarette. And, you know, not many people, I didn't think, smoked anymore, but they do. And in their cars.
Not many people we hang out with, but yes.
And so he, you know, to like, I guess, ash his cigarette, since he's in a convertible, he's just kind of reaching up over his head and, you know, shh. And the first time he did it, I didn't really pay it. I was just like,
but in standstill traffic, not
barely moving, just every, you know, every little bit. And so the first time I didn't think anything of it except for the fact that I was like, that's just kind of gross. And so I kept watching. He did it again, and this time the girl that was with him, it like, you know, basically blew all over her, right? And she was like brushing her hair like it was in her hair, and he didn't really pay any attention to that, but I could tell she was getting frustrated. So he does it again, and she's a little more frustrated, kind of like giving signs, but you know, he doesn't do anything about it.
He's probably fucking oblivious because...
Oh, it was awesome, though. It was sitting behind him and watching it was incredible.
He was like, I'm so cool with my convertible and I'm ashing my cigarette.
And she loves
oblivious
me.
To the... Every time.
I mean, and the fire hazard. Right. Which is what comes into play next. So next he goes to, like, thump it out and it comes right back. And it looks like it went, like, between the headrest and her head because she started doing, like, a Chris Farley on Tommy Boy when he is telling David Spade to act like you're getting stung by bees. And she's literally doing all that, and that's when I exited. But
your weapons are useless against them.
I was laughing profusely at them and thought, what an idiot. But
well, why didn't she just punch him in the throat is my question, because that's...
Maybe she did. I hope that she did.
100% what I would have
done. I mean, it takes me back to my childhood of growing up with parents that smoked in the car.
Hotboxing you in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I grew up in a household where smoking in the car was mandatory.
No.
And the heat had to be on.
Windows rolled
down.
No
windows rolled down. No nothing. You know, and people want to know why I have a tendency to overspray my cologne. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Because you didn't want to go to middle school smelling like an ashtray.
No, I remember specifically my first day at Challenger Middle School.
Is that Colorado?
Colorado Springs, and I went in, and it may not have been my first day, but I was still new, and, you know, I was trying to talk to some cute girls. I remember I went up to one girl, and we were just, like, talking. I think we had, like, a book report or something that we were all working on, and I said something, and she looked at me, and she was like, "Do you smoke cigarettes?" I was, like, 11. I was like, "No. My parents do.
God damn it, Mom.
I hate my life."
Aww. We love you, Sheila and Randy, yeah. If you're listening.
So then I started literally bathing in cologne. And so then it just made like a cologne-y smoker smell.
Just
which, yeah. You know, some say that's worse.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
But yeah, now they'll fine your ass for that. During our childhood, it was... expected of parents to smoke in the car with their children.
My parents didn't smoke.
Yeah, you're lucky. Mine did, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, well, but I do remember going over to spend the night at friends' houses where their parents would smoke, and I would come home, and, like, every piece of clothing and bag that I had with me, I'd be like, well, all these need to be lit on fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was my... That was my life. You can go down in our basement right now and smell my high school Letterman's jacket that's hanging up and hasn't been touched.
That's probably what makes that faint cigarette smell in the basement every once in a while when we get that.
And it still smells like my mom is smoking and blowing into it directly. Because it stayed in their house for so long. So, yeah. Thought that was a funny...
at least that was something entertaining to watch while you're sitting... You didn't sit in that traffic very long, though. Because I gave you the cut.
No, but long enough to be angry about it because I was so close to being home after that drive, but, you know.
Yeah, but your timing was superbly on point. You pulled up, Gunnar and I jumped in the car, and we got to his second baseball game of the weekend, like, exactly on time.
Yeah, and, you know, Gunnar's our four-year-old, and... he's playing in a five-year-old coach's pitch, and he took one off the face like a champ.
Yeah.
Like a Fowler boy should, and he shook it off, kept playing.
It was, took everything, every ounce of my being to stay in the bleachers and not jump over the fence running onto the field.
That was the first thing I thought of before I thought of his safety was... Oh, dear God, his mother's about to jump the fence, and I'm going to have to handle both of them.
He was all the way across the field. I saw it hit him in the shoulder and bounce up and hit him in the face, and then I just saw him stand real still, and I could hear him. Ah! I was like, okay, Randall's out there.
Yeah.
His coaches and his dad have got this. It's okay.
And he shook it right off. And then
he did.
When we came off the field to hit, Brooke, of course, was standing at the fence to talk to him. And what did he say to you?
He came up and he saw me standing there and said, "I'm fine, Mommy."
Yep. Champion.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Big boy. Tough guy.
So it was a good weekend. Very busy. We had two baseball games. You know, Friday we had to, you know, drive to pick up Griffin in Alabama. So take him back Sunday. Another game. So it was busy. Busy but productive.
Couldn't have been better weather, though, for that. And, I mean, we got to give Gunnar props for his very first game. He hit...
Hit a live pitch.
He hit a live pitch. Then his first, and then all of them consecutively, runs into home plate.
Scored.
Slid. Yep. When he scored, he slid into home base. Or home plate. He was the first... on his team to do that, so then every kid started sliding into first, second, third, home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He, every time, would slide into home. But he's got such good form doing that.
Well, he waits for a curtain call every time after he
and then
slides into home.
Yeah, he'll slide into home, and then he'll stand on home plate for roughly 2 minutes just basking in the glory.
He loves it.
And he actually, today, when we got home, was like, well, what are we doing after we get home? I was like... Nothing. I mean, this is like one of the only nights where...
It is the only night.
We actually don't have anything for you. Like, Mommy gets to go to the gym for the one night a week now that I have time to do so. And he was a little bummed that he was like, but I want to go to baseball.
We need a night off, so that's good.
Yes, we got jiu-jitsu tomorrow, and then I think baseball Wednesday.
And got an update for you guys that have been following. I unfired myself from the microwave debacle, and I actually made the new outlet and got the microwave installed today. You're welcome.
Yeah, super impressed. We had actually called somebody on Friday.
They fucked us.
They were like, yeah, sure, I'll come out. Even if not today, tomorrow. Never heard from him Friday. Never heard from him Saturday. Still nothing Sunday. So I got a text today from Randall that was a picture of the microwave installed. I had just assumed when I saw it that homeboy had come over and installed the outlet and finished it. But no, it was my man.
Yeah, his name's Paul, and he called at about 3 after I was done and was like, hey, sorry about that, because I even texted him this morning, like, never heard from you about this. What's up?
Yeah, but we saved, what, $190 that he was going to
charge?
Something
like that, but he called me and was like, you know, what's up? I can make it out there maybe today. And so I just stopped him right there and told him to suck my dick. I got it.
I got this shit, dude.
Then I hung up in his face.
Fuck yourself.
We'll never be able to use him again for any home improvements.
Whatever. He'll take our money.
I think I made him mad. But let's jump into the Walking Dead recap. What'd you think of last night's episode? Spoiler in advance.
In advance this
5
time.
5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, you pulled a Chris Hardwick with that.
Yes,
nicely done, sir.
Becoming a pro.
So, I thought it was a good episode. I mean, Jadis. That whole Jadis part was savage.
Agreed.
I mean, she ground up all her people into chili, essentially.
Yeah. I'm going to let you go keep on saying everything you liked, and then I'll jump in with what was terrible about the episode. Since that's how we do it.
Okay. I mean, I kind of like that little glimpse into Rick being the brutal, I'm going to fucking kill everybody. He promised Carl he wasn't going to be. But then when he's on the walkie with Negan, he's basically like, you know what? I'm going to fucking kill you. And I'm going to kill all of you. Negan was sad that Carl died, which was expected because he really liked Carl. And I thought that was sweet that he wanted to make sure it wasn't his people that killed him. But then right after that was like, this is your fault, Rick. And your son's dead because of you. So I think that definitely lit a new fire of hatred in Rick. And who else did they show? Oh, I mean, the Enid and Aaron thing, that's whatever.
That's Bush League.
It's boring right now,
that
but I feel like they're...
That makes me yawn.
No, I like him.
He makes me sleepy.
I mean, I know they're going somewhere with it, but... I mean, mainly that whole thing with Jadis. It was kind of fucked up that Rick just left her, though. But then she just got gangster and ground up all her people. My first thought, though, when I saw that, though, was like, so does that thing... It's obviously not electric. Must run on, like, diesel fuel or something, but, like...
A generator or something.
Right. But my very first thought was, like, how the fuck is she powering that thing?
Yeah.
What other use did they... Like, when did they ever use that before? What did they use it for?
It's a trash compactor.
Right. But in the zombie apocalypse, what were they using it for?
Oh, nothing. I'm sure they just flat out...
never used it.
No, but knew it was there.
To grind people up.
For something. I mean, it worked.
Yeah. No, it was a... I mean, it was pretty clutch.
Yep.
And now she's fine, I guess. I mean, I don't know how fine you're going to be after watching all of your people get ground up into mushy.
Yeah, could they have done more camera angles on her overacting and making I'm being tortured faces of watching them?
they couldn't, I mean, it was...
But it changed every time, so it bothered me. It was like, give us another one. No, do another one.
Because it was a different person she was looking at. You don't pay enough close attention to know who she was looking at.
I know that, and I know that every certain ones were closer to her,
they
blah,
were like
blah,
her,
blah.
Her...
But your face wouldn't change for every single one. There wouldn't be a unique face.
Well, what was she supposed to do? Make the same fucking face
every
time? Yeah,
stare in and be dead inside from the trauma. For God's sake.
I did like, too, how it was the facade of, like, her minimalistic vocabulary was gone. Like, as soon as Rick and Michonne were there and she started talking to them, she was like...
Which made me hate them even more.
She was full sentences, telling a whole story with descriptive words.
Instead of talking like Yoda.
Exactly. Instead of talking like me, like food. Like she was talking like a human, and I was like, oh, you were... I mean, we all knew that they were full of shit talking like that, but I mean, I thought it was kind of cool to see her like that, and maybe she'll be useful. I don't know.
Sure
I thought that whole part was the best part, though, was the whole Jadis thing. Rick having, like, punching his way out of there with a car door.
Yeah, I was watching the licks of that, you know, how he bent down the two pieces to be staffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, maybe one of 10 landed. The rest of them, he just pushed them and their heads fell off. Like, didn't even hit their head with
there's
the...
There's a lot going on,
of
so...
course.
But
I'm here to poke holes in
all right. It's a zombie apocalypse show, babe. I don't
exactly.
know. I mean...
But here's my question.
Yeah.
Can we delay getting it on any longer?
What?
Oh. The fight. How long can they draw this shit out? Every season is a draw, drag out.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to feel like they're taking advantage of us.
But it's... every season, so why are you not used to this by now?
Because for God's sakes, we have to stand up for ourselves as fans and say, good God, man.
Well, I haven't finished watching Talking Dead yet, and I know Robert Kirkman was on there, which, of course, he doesn't really ever give anything away, but...
No, all he's going to say is, this next episode is the most intense.
Oh my God, but you know what I just fucking thought of? Is that he always, when every time he would come on Talking Dead... Or when Chris Hardwick used to have that other show at midnight, which, yes, I'm a total nerd, guys. Chris Hardwick is my celebrity BFF. That show doesn't exist anymore, but Robert Kirkman would go on there, too, sometimes. And he would always fuck with people and be like, well, man, it sure is going to suck when Carl dies next season. And, like, everybody would be like, oh, come on. It's fucking true.
Yeah, he probably knew everyone... isn't going to believe shit that he says because normally he's not giving anything
But he's been
away.
Saying that for like a year and a half. Like, oh, I guess it's going to really suck when Carl dies next season. And like everybody just automatically assumed you can't kill Carl.
Yeah. And
show enough. I mean, you know, nobody's safe on the show, but I really thought Rick and Carl would be the two. Because like I feel like Michonne, even though she's like his main, I feel like she's...
She's gotten soft.
Exactly, that's what I mean. I feel like she's, like, any minute is going to be taken out. But
she was the gangster of all gangsters back when the governor was around.
Fuck yeah, she barely talked. She just sliced and diced. She does have my weapon of choice for the zombie apocalypse, by the way.
Weapon.
That is the samurai sword. That's my weapon of choice because it's silent, deadly, lightweight.
I thought that the Rick... and Negan radio transmission was just one giant bro hug to me.
Mm-mm.
It just shows that they're going to end up, I can just see, you can see it, that they're going to end up being civil. Negan given that much of a flash of humanity with the Carl thing, it hurts my... belief in his badassness and his ability to have any control over Rick. I think it's shown as more of his weakness and human side to the enemy. That's just me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, I still know Rick is full of shit. He's going to end up, Carl is going to be sitting on his shoulder now every time it comes
yeah.
to
Well, that's
smoking somebody.
So. I don't know. He left Jadis in that landfill with. He did not, but he left her.
The Savage is the dude that works for Negan, that killed everybody there. He's awesome. He's terrible, but he's awesome.
Simon?
Yes. I was going to say
his real name. His real name is like Stephen Ogg or something.
He's obviously going to get killed by Negan soon because he lied to Negan when Negan said, how'd it go?
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Oh, totally normal. And Negan's going to find out about that.
There was too many other people with him.
Negan's going to throw him in the fire or burn his tits off or something.
Or he's going to end up siding with like Rick and them at the hilltop or something. I don't know. Everything, it all seems like it's all about to just...
I think he's dead.
Blow up. But yeah, he very well could be. He's got such a killer mustache, though.
Yeah, the fight will start on the season finale. Finally.
More than likely. And then we'll have to wait till October.
To see the beginning of the fight. We'll see the engagement on the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a year, we'll see...
You're getting it now, babe.
The first of the fight.
You are getting it now.
Yeah. I feel like they're taking advantage.
They're dragging it out as long as possible because, I mean... Definitely money maker. I don't know. I thought it was a good episode, though. Except for the Oceanside piece where I was kind of... It was a snooze.
That bores the shit out of me.
But yeah, the rest of it was pretty cool. That's the only show we really... I mean, the Oscars was on last night.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Who
the
fuck watched that? I watched it for 3 seconds and saw some kind of sound editing... Oscar being given away, and I really just wanted to see some of Jimmy Kimmel's stuff, which, I mean...
Yeah, ask me if I watched the Oscars.
I was just watching it until I wanted to give the DVR time, yeah. Like, so that I could fast forward through commercials for The Walking Dead, and... Yeah, the Oscars is the same every year to me. It's all about whoever's hosting... Like, sucking Meryl Streep off. Because she's always sitting in the front row.
Yeah, and roasting anyone that has a conservative view. Absolutely.
I didn't really hear anything about that, but I watched it for 5 minutes.
Well, this was this is the Me Too Time's Up Oscar.
Oh, I did hear him say something about Harvey Weinstein or something when I was brushing my teeth. I don't know.
So, check this out. I didn't watch it. For a ton of reasons, for not just political, but for just the fuckery of Hollywood.
Oscars are boring as shit.
Yeah, but they're so damn... It's so hypocritical. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, play just on the politics part, but the majority of those people in Hollywood are fucking loony. They're so disconnected from
reality. The
rest of us that I can't even stand it. And my point was proven... In a way that I wouldn't wish for it to be. But all you have to do is look at the outcome. All right, Kobe Bryant won an Oscar for his film, Dear Basketball. Which is fantastic. His film's great. I remember when he wrote the article about it. He was fantastic. I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan. I love the Black Mamba.
What category did he win?
It's a short film.
Oh, okay. Kobe Bryant won an Oscar.
I'm a huge fan of Kobe, so do not take this the wrong way, everyone out there.
Last night
they
he
know
did?
That I'm a fan. Yeah, he won last night for his thing.
Cool.
But, so, Kobe Bryant wins an Oscar, gets a standing ovation, which I think he deserves. I love Kobe. I thought that he actually did an excellent job on his film. But the group that stood up and gave him the standing ovation... Also made James Franco not come, which James Franco is kind of a dirtbag. And a lot of them snubbed Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet because of his allegations.
Oh my God.
But remember, Kobe Bryant was charged with rape.
Like, had to go to court.
Yeah. He was found not guilty. He settled a civil suit.
Yeah.
He acknowledged that he fucked her.
No, but everybody else has only been persecuted in the... Social media,
but Kobe gets the standing ovation. Now, Liz, you got to remember, Kobe.
That was like 15 years ago, though,
okay,
wasn't it?
Well, then that's fine. Let's call it the Me Too under 15 years.
That sounds. But no,
then
but
I'm cool.
They've all just got the attention span of a goldfish.
They're cherry picking. And so then that just proves the point. It's not that I'm anti-Kobe because I think he should have won.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't think he raped that girl. I never did. I thought he just, he banged her. He was married, got caught. Now, he did some fucked up shit. If you remember his damn, the hard part with him with the police, he was very honest and upfront, acknowledged that they had a sexual relationship that while he was married. And she had a bruise on her neck, I remember, and that he acknowledged that was from him choking her during sex. Because that's his thing. I remember him saying those words. Okay. That was in the interview.
Is he still with his wife?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. He bought her a big old rock.
Bought her like a $7 million ring. Yeah. And was like...
And they've had no problem since. And I'm not judging him on this shit. That's neither here nor there. But he acknowledged the affair. Acknowledged choking the girl because he liked to choke the girls that weren't his wife. In the outside of his marriage sex, which is his thing. And then they said, well, how do you know that she... had the capacity to say no to you? And he said, oh, I know she can say no because I asked her if I could blow my load on her face and she said no. And so I didn't. And well, they were like, well, touche then.
Then he's a gentleman.
So all of that being said, I still think he wins. I'm fine with his standing ovation. He's a brilliant guy. He's got things going on outside of basketball. I love it. But if you're gonna dodge Seacrest because he rubbed his junk against his old assistant, allegedly.
Oh, my God.
And James Franco, if you didn't know he was a douche before all this, something's wrong with you. That guy's an obvious tool from Jump Street.
He's just got that scumbag look in his eyes like,
yeah,
but I might roofie your drink when you're not looking.
But when you've got the Time's Up pin all over your lapel and then you're giving the standing O to Kobe... And the middle finger to Seacrest, I can't respect anything you've ever said. And they started, I'm not the only one that saw that. There's people
Hollywood
that have posted about it.
Hypocritical.
And they interviewed people after, some of these celebrities, and were like, how could you, you know, Kobe thing. And then you said, go fuck yourself to Seacrest. Why is that? And they said, oh, I didn't know Kobe did that.
Oh, bullshit.
Well, now I'm mad at Kobe. Now, like, you know, you're so full of dog shit.
I can't stand it. And now I'm triggered.
Yeah, so you get all that wrapped up. That's just a microcosm of the disconnect, the cherry picking, the bullshit fuckery as to why I could not give two squirts of piss about the Oscars.
No, it's all exhausting. It's because it's all so fake. All the caring about all this shit. I mean, it's... Oh, my God. I bet every single dude in that room last night at the Oscars has been a creep fucking dirtbag at some point in their career.
If you go by today's standard... Every guy ever walked the earth has been a creep at some point.
For sure.
And that's just the way it is. And that's fine.
I'm all
about the legit cases, the real bullshit, the unfairness, the taking advantage of a powerful position.
It's all getting diluted with all this other shit.
Oh, I know. And I think you just got to know a little bit more about your stance before you just... drop a big old turd. And they've done this at two award ceremonies in a row. They did, at the last one, I forget which one
was.
Was
that the one with Chris Rock?
The Golden Globes. No, the one with where they aired Hillary Clinton, a big segment about her ripping Donald Trump and reading an excerpt from that book that came out about him. And then that same day, prior to that, it came out of her former, one of the chair people on her committee that flat out brought sexual harassment to her attention and she refused to take action against the guy
that did it. When she was
running for president.
Oh.
So she was pushing sexual harassment to the side, which is bullshit, and not acknowledging it. But then comes on to the, Me Too, Golden Globes, or whatever it was, and they give her a standing ovation. You gotta know your shit a little bit better, and you gotta be able
to be
more intelligent about
who
you're...
That's asking a lot of...
Yeah, so I'm off my soapbox, but I love Kobe. That's not a knock on Kobe, it's a knock on everyone else, because Kobe deserved the shit.
I don't even know what one did The Shape of Water. I know that one was nominated for like 1,000 Oscars.
I literally don't know, but it's about a woman banging a dolphin, isn't it?
It's like a fish man guy.
Yes.
Like a guy with like fish hands and fish feet and gills and a fish head. He's basically a fish, but he's kind of shaped like a guy, but he's a fish. Yeah.
That's art.
It's Guillermo del Toro, I think. I don't know. It was literally nominated for like 13 Oscars. I think I heard this morning it won Best Picture. I don't know.
Yeah,
the last time I even gave any kind of shits about the Oscars was when Jared Leto won for Dallas Buyers Club. And I didn't watch it that night, but I sure as hell watched his YouTube video of his acceptance speech like 3 times. And Matthew McConaughey, because they were fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
but,
they were cool.
And that movie was awesome, and they totally deserved it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I got no.
Don't care.
That's my...
I don't even give a shit about like what people are wearing anymore. Because, I don't know. I used to watch all the red carpet stuff beforehand, but it's just all so...
I don't care. I don't want to watch people, these turds, pat themselves on the back when they're so dumb about their issue. And by dumb, I mean ignorant. And by ignorant, I mean they're cheering and booing the wrong people for the wrong reasons and not, I mean...
How could you say you didn't know about the Kobe thing? I mean, that's like saying you didn't know about O.J. Simpson. Like, that shit was all over... Not as much, obviously,
yeah.
But like...
No, it was well known. Everyone should know that Kobe Bryant was accused of rape. He was found not guilty in his trial. The girl would not testify, so he is not guilty. And then she sued him civilly, and he settled it, I'm sure, just so it would go away. I don't think he raped her flat out.
No.
The whole thing, I think she was trying to get...
She was trying to extort him for some money, for sure. He might have gotten rough with her and all that. But, like, yeah. No. Oscars are stupid. I'm with you.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I was wanting to, go into our little, tip segment. And I've got a nice intro song now for it. See if you can hear it.
Knock your tits off. Because the volume's all the way down, babe. That's excellent.
Just the tip. Just the tip. Just the tip. Just for a second. Just to see how it feels. Yeah. Just the tip. Just a tip. Just a tip. Just for a second. Just to see how it feels.
Yeah. Yes. So that is the new intro song for this segment. Just the tip. And I thought this week, since we were kind of on farting last episode, to kind of stick with that. And so my tip this week is for... the guys and women to have some goddamn respect for themselves.
Okay. In what way?
In every way. In how they take care of themselves, how they look. You know, don't let yourself go to the point of disgustance.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're doing that, the dangers of that for your partner. People think that you're just... I get it. We get fat, people get out of shape, there's health issues, you get injured, you have babies, things change. But when you throw in the fucking towel, if you think your spouse can't see that, you're crazy. And that's all they care about is the effort. If it goes out the shitter and you just stop trying.
Right. Well, I mean, not only is it poor, it's bad for like your relationship, but it's also, if you do have kids, it's not being a good role model.
No. An example of that, which is one of my pet peeves, is guys with long, nasty fingernails. How long have you've always known that bothers me.
Well, no, right? The second Griffin walks in the door here, you're like, let me see your horrible fingernails. Jesus, Lord.
And I clip them off or have him clip them off.
Yeah.
Now that he's 13, he learned last year how to clip his own fingernails.
We can let him use the adult ones. Yeah. He doesn't have to use the baby ones anymore.
But I cannot.
And he can do it himself.
I can't take it. If you're a mechanic and you got mechanic hands, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That is a different kind. But when your nails are just long and nasty, lose my number. Can't be friends with you. Can't win with you. Can't do it.
Oh, that's a huge pet peeve of yours. Yeah, I know that.
And what does it, I mean, as a woman, what do you think? When you see a guy walks up, hey, his fingernails are black around the top and long.
No, that's one thing. Like, I mean, a guy's hands are one of the first things I look at. I mean, especially when I was single.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it says a lot about how you groom yourself. If your fingernails are fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Everywhere else might be a little stanky too.
Agreed. And I think your hands can tell, especially for a guy or a girl maybe that has a labor job or that just likes to, you know, get in the weight room or something. Your hands can tell a whole story about you. You know, my hands, I've got scars all over them. They're calloused, but they're tidy.
No, but I love them.
They're tidy.
And they're humongous. They make my hands look like little tiny Burger King hands.
Yeah. If you had a book of matches, you could strike them off the calluses on my hands.
Yeah.
And that bitch would light right up. But they're tidy. They're clean.
Yeah.
And proportional. I mean, if you're 40 years old and you've got a long thumbnail so you can split cigars with them, go jump off the bridge. Clip your fucking fingernails.
Harsh words.
It drives me insane, though. And if you think I don't look at your pictures, friends, like your Facebook pictures, and zoom in on your hands just to see if you're a disgusting fucker that I can't be friends with, I do. And I show Brooke every time. And it's unacceptable. But
yes,
I agree. I mean, don't you? It can speak volumes.
It can.
And I agree. Keep your car clean.
Ooh.
Try. Put some effort into being active.
Look, that's a lot to ask for everybody. Because for me, like, I keep the house clean and bust my ass keeping the house clean. I don't got fucking time to keep my car clean.
And so who cleans your car?
You do.
Daddy here cleans your car. Because I want you to be a part of the clean car crowd.
I love having a clean car. I just don't have fucking time. Agreed. Nor the energy, nor the like, I don't have the motivation because I'm already so drained from all the, you know, keeping the house clean and with Gunner and all that. So, I mean, I'm just like, that's the one thing that for me, I'll let it go. But luckily, I have a fantastic, wonderful, amazing husband that does it for me. Exactly. Because he spoils me. But because I do love having everybody knows that when your car is freshly clean, it's like, oh, I don't want to drive it off a cliff anymore and leave it.
Well, that circles back to my point about the effort. You're putting in plenty of effort. Now, we have our things that we work out where we split everything up, and that's part of that. My point is I'm speaking to the guys or the girls about everything that reflects on you, you know, appearance-wise. I know everybody wants to think that it doesn't matter what I look like. It's what's inside that counts. I mean, that's cool and it's true to a point, but if you're disgusting, you're it's hard to look at you. And that's just the truth. And if you're hard to look at you and there's not a good reason other than you're lazy, that is a turnoff. Sorry.
Yeah. Just put in the effort is the mess.
That's all that matters. If you can't lose weight, that's okay. A lot of people have slow metabolisms. you know, their knees bad, whatever. They can't do, you know, hard exercise. Cool. Go walk to the mailbox and back. And tell me so I can see and know, you know what? She's putting in the effort. She's big as hell, but she's trying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it needs to be. I don't like seeing them throw in the towel. That's my tip of the
week. No, that is a bummer to see folks throw in the towel and give excuses like, but I had a baby 6 years ago and
still holding on to this baby weight.
And, you know, I had that surgery in 93 for my hangnail. But, you know. That sounds mean. And
it does. It does sound mean, but it's honest, you know. And sometimes you know, you got to hear the truth too. I'm all about nice people. Doesn't define you what you look like. I don't care if you are overweight, but you're putting in the effort. You know, the people I respect the most at the gym, people give grief. I respect those. You know, you'll see women that are 8 months pregnant still exercising, or the biggest fucker you've ever seen.
Well, because it's got to start somewhere.
Fat as hell in there, busting his or her ass.
Yeah.
Trying.
No, if you're
that's what matters.
If you're shaming anybody in the gym like that, you need to fucking play in traffic and get hit by a car. Because that's, yeah.
They're putting in harder work than anyone else because they have the furthest to go.
They have to work way hard. Yeah, I mean, and you know.
And that's a daunting task. That's like you with your car. You're like, oh, just gonna push that. They could do that always.
Yeah.
You
sure.
Gotta be moving and doing something, giving an effort.
Yep.
So enough on that.
Yep.
We agree. I have a few fan questions.
Fan questions. Friend questions.
Friend questions. The first one is I'm gonna give to you just because I'm interested in your answer. This is from Chad Mahan.
Okay.
My boy.
Yes.
5'5", baby.
I'm a little worried.
When making a PB&J, do you make the PB&J together on one side?
Oh.
Or do you do the PB on one side and the other side jelly?
I've done both. You know me. I'm not, with stuff like that, I'm not consistent. It's how I'm feeling that moment. If I do on the same side, it's always peanut butter first and then jelly. Duh. But if I really am thinking about what I'm doing, then I would do peanut butter on one slice and jelly on the other. But stuff like that isn't... I'm not super OCD about making a fucking PB&J because I don't make enough of them and I don't... I mean, I'm OCD about enough shit.
She does not eat them. And let me be clear for the record. Had I ever seen her make it all on one side, we would have been discussing it because it's unacceptable.
You probably have never even seen me make
them. I haven't. You never make them. I make them whenever we have an occasional picnic or we go
somewhere.
I
made one for Gunner before.
Yeah,
but you weren't here, probably.
No.
And I probably just threw it all on one side because I'm a...
And I can totally see you doing that for speed.
Yes.
But it's still not
but
forgivable.
But also sometimes if you're, because I think for like Gunner, instead of making a whole two pieces of bread, I'll do it like, I'll do it all on one piece of bread and then fold it in half like a little mini sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So how the fuck else would you do it in that case?
I mean.
You have no other option.
No, I mean.
Or would you do one half and then the other half and
I'm
fold
not
going
to, you know, make mini half skis, so I don't know. But I would probably do it a portion on each.
Yeah.
On the top, bottom, fold it. But
on
a sandwich, I'm definitely going to do one piece of bread is allotted for peanut butter, the other for jelly. The problem with other people that make peanut butter and jellies, Chad, is their ratio of peanut butter to jelly is always dog shit. It's either so much jelly that you kill the peanut butter.
There's got to be a good ratio. I'm all about
that.
It's got
to be perfect for it to be.
And it's
got to
be
sandwich.
The peanut butter's got to reach the outer edges of the fucking bread. I cannot stand it when somebody puts just in the middle. Because I'm like, what good is that going
to
do?
Well, that comes down to your bread selection and your quality of bread.
Whether
if you
it's
have
tearing
dog shit
to
cheap
shreds.
Bread that it's going to rip the bread immediately.
Yeah.
And then your sandwich is going to be subpar from the jump.
Then you're fucked from the beginning. But, yeah, good question. That is...
That's a deep, deep chat.
No, you know what the real question is? Along those lines, which I'm super OCD about, is when putting the toilet paper on the toilet paper roll, do you put it with it coming off the top or coming out off the down out of the bottom, if that makes sense?
Are you asking me and want me to answer?
Yes. Because there is a correct way, by the way.
Yes. If you're asking
me... Just think about the bathrooms in our house.
When
you don't
when I change the toilet paper roll, which is rare, the last five times I've done it... So for me, I'm not a big toilet paper roll guy. I like the wet wipes.
Well, so, and boom, you don't really ever...
Keep the tushy clean.
And when you do it wrong, I just fix it.
Well, I know, but let me get to that before you answer. But the last five times, I have intentionally put it under to see if you would correct it, and you have.
Motherfucker. Yes, of course.
And we've never discussed it.
No, never.
Last time was in our bathroom, and I caught it like a day later. I was like, son of a bitch, she changed it.
Because it's not something that's like...
No, that was strictly me fucking with, but that's awesome.
That's funny that you were fucking with me, though. That's awesome. Yeah. I like that. But, I mean, because it's not one of those things that, like, gets under my skin. It's just there is a correct way. And
it bothers me enough. I agree with you. We're on the same. It does bother me enough to have done it, to fuck with you, to see if you would do it.
Oh, I immediately change it. But it's, yeah. I mean, and what aggravates me is, like, when I'm at work and it's, like, those goddamn toilet paper things where they're locked.
And you get a one square at a time when you try to pull it out.
And it's, for one, the shittiest, like, thinnest...
Striking paper.
It's like, oh, it's the worst. And then they've got it wrong where it's coming under, and I'm like, I can't work in these conditions.
No.
Anyways, okay, yeah, that was another one that I know. It's like, I've seen Facebook posts about it. Like, which way
the
is
engineering,
right? Yeah.
The official, yeah, I've seen that before, too. The next one by Chad... makes more sense. He asked another one, said, can you discuss the size of Cyborg's manhood? It's Chris Cyborg, obviously.
Obviously. I mean, I think that depends on where is she in her cycle of steroids, because doesn't that...
Yes.
And spoiler alert, that bitch is on steroids.
Yeah, she's definitely done steroids.
She's,
she's tested hot, you know,
multiple times
back in the past, and
now she just dialed it in
she's
to where she
and it somehow, and I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with women that take it, athletes that take it. I really don't.
For being in the UFC, I think
but you can't pretend that there's not side effects. So I got to give it to Chad. I'm with you. I've had this thought plenty of times, so you're not alone in thinking about it. And without any disrespect. You know, one of the side effects to women taking anabolic steroids or testosterone is their clitoris or clitoris, however you choose to say it, will enlarge.
Like a whinus.
I'm not a scientist and know whether that goes back to normal or not afterwards.
I would think it should, maybe.
But let's say that it does. If she's on cycle, Chad, my answer is the size of a little Smokey.
That's or me. Like Randall's thumb.
Which is a pretty big
That would
little
be
smoky.
A large little Smokey.
Because she's like, a big, husky woman to begin with. I mean, she's all of 5'10 and 170 pounds before she cuts weight.
Is she bantamweight? Or is she 145?
She cuts
did
the
they
full
make,
145. They made her 145.
They made a weight
and
class
she is a beast.
Her.
She is a killer. It was her fight.
Did she win?
This weekend
I didn't...
was... pointless. Oh, she murdered.
She punches everybody's face straight off, and I don't understand.
Nobody wants to fight her.
No, why would you? She's... Well,
they can't build a division for her if no one will fight her, and so they've got to throw her these cans because no one will fight her.
Rhonda should just come back and fight her.
Now they're
going to
throw in Nunez. They're going to make them two fight, which would be
catch
a good
weight?
Fight. No, they'll fight at Cyborg's weight, and Amanda will have the option to hold both belts if she beats her.
So Cyborg has the belt in 145.
Nunez has it at 135.
Yeah, okay. No, Nunez is going to get her face ripped off. And
yeah, I mean, it's the best option.
No, Cyborg is terrifying. Yeah. I mean...
Holly Holm gave her a good fight, went the distance with her, you know. At least we got to see her fight.
Because Holly Holm is the only one that will stay away from her opponent and then just pop, 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 and then, like, hop around.
Yeah, she's a counter striker. She gave it to her.
What happened with, like, yeah, so Randall got the pay-per-view on Saturday. I was asleep by 11. I did not watch the pay-per-view because those shits don't even start the goddamn...
The main card.
Main card until like 10:30. So what happened with Frankie Edgar?
T-City murked him. Brian Ortega knocked him out. Frankie Edgar had...
he's never been knocked he's never out been before.
Finished. No, never been finished. So Ortega, who is a Gracie trained...
See, and I'm torn with that because I like Frankie Edgar just because he's...
He's awesome.
He's awesome. You can't change but then about Ortega is a protege of Henner Gracie, and then we are obviously loyal to the Gracies because our son is a gray and white belt at Gracie Baja.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and Gunnar was when they were doing the whole package of interviewing both of them before the fight. We were showing Gunnar, like, look, there's a Gracie. And you can see the G. He was
It's similar to Gracie Baja's. It's different enough. What,
that's Gracie University?
Because it's a different... It all comes from one Gracie, but they've split off.
Same damn family.
But it's still Gracie family. So, I totally get what you're saying.
Same family. And Henner, the G is similar enough to where Gunnar was like, hey.
Henner is a dime piece.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good-looking fella.
Smoking, yeah.
And he will strangle you. But T-City...
Why is he T-City? Brian Ortega.
His nickname is T-City, but he's a beast. And he killed Frankie with an uppercut. Literally, I thought
knocked
Frankie
him out?
Was dead.
Or yeah, like, oh, out. No.
It was pretty ugly. He had had hurt Frankie and then caught him kind of with a phantom clinch and came up the middle and just uppercutted
his tits
off.
Seems like he's a lot
bigger
than Frankie, naturally.
Everyone's bigger than Frankie.
Yeah.
Frankie is.
But all these
Frankie
other people,
fights at his weight.
At his natural weight.
Yeah, he
and
never cuts
else.
Weight. I mean, he was eating pizza a couple of days before the. I mean, he's a true Jersey plumber.
That's why I like him though, because he's just.
Oh, he's awesome, and I don't think it hurts him, and he'll fight again. It was he just got caught. It's not like Frankie's losing a step.
Yeah.
The guy's never.
Who
been
else was fighting on Saturday?
Out.
That it was Cyborg and Frankie Edgar and.
That was really...
Is that it?
Kat Zingano got beat.
No, there was a fucking boring-ass one. Andre Arlovsky and... Which I assumed was going to be boring. What, didn't Arlovsky fight?
Yeah, Stefan Struve.
And did they just...
John Fest.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Arlovsky's 108 years old, and he's been knocked out so many times. But he's still a beast. I mean, any of these... Me knocking any of them is ridiculous. It's not... That they're all awesome fighters, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, now Arlovsky has been definitely on a down skid. He's changed camps again, and now he's at American
Top
Team.
That's never good. That never seems to work out for anybody. If you're changing camps multiple times, it never seems to like Travis Brown. Travis Brown,
what's the last pitch effort when guys are on their way out? They'll do anything to.
They're trying to change something to get better, which I get, but like it's. I don't know.
I mean, Orlovsky went to American Top Team, and his wrestling was improved. He actually used wrestling against Stefan Struve. I mean, but Stefan Struve's had, like, 7 heart attacks and heart surgeries, and, I mean, it was a snoozer, but Orlovsky got the win, so it was good to see him get his hand raised.
Oh, he did win. Okay.
Yeah, he did. And we got one last question. We'll wrap this up because we're going long for... from Star, who also went to college with me and Chad.
Yeah.
She's married to one of my fraternity brothers, Chris McCollum.
Yes.
So obviously this is about
him.
Uh-huh. Star. So way to throw him under the bus. But why are guys always scratching their junk?
I don't know. Star, I have the same question. Randall's always, like, not even realizing you're doing it, I don't think. Just... Riding in the car.
Oh, I mean, great.
I don't get it.
I think it's a programmed genetic thing where we are used to...
You just want
to
make sure it's
grabbing
there.
This extreme... I mean, I don't even realize I'll be doing it. I mean, we've had company over and I'll be like kicked back on the couch
and
realize I've got the outside of my wiener in my hand and I'm rolling it around in my hand.
That's exactly what you do in the car. And yeah. I'm like,
I'm just rolling it around
like doing?
Like a big, huge cigar. And I have no idea that I'm doing it with company.
Oh, it's so inappropriate.
So
yeah.
I got nothing on that one, Stark.
And that is...
That just means he's a red-blooded American man.
For sure. It's like a... The, yeah. It's the... Tale as old as time. Yep. It's the question that will never be answered.
There's not shit you can do sure. about it, yeah. Star. And you know what? That is... You're just going to have to take that one. You're going to take it
There's
in.
Not a real good reason is what the answer is. It's just... That's just the way...
Yeah, from the minute we find that thing,
that
our hands are never far from it.
That is
until our death.
No, as soon as little boys figure out that that thing is there,
and you can't rip it off,
they are fascinated with it eternally, and they don't understand, you know, why mommy doesn't have one. They're like, "This is the coolest thing ever. Why don't you have one? These are great."
And that never,
you can pee standing up, Mom. Why don't you have one?
That never leaves.
I know. Yeah, and it's...
Al Bundy is the eternal man stance.
Oh, yeah,
holder.
I mean...
And that's a real... I mean, I know that I'm...
You
my,
do that.
My relaxing stance is...
Hand
I don't do the
in
hand
pant.
In the front as much as I do. No, where I'll catch myself on top of my pants,
yeah.
rolling my wiener around.
You frequent the in the pants when it's just us.
Oh,
and
sure.
We're like dead tired and like laying on the couch. I'm like, come on, dude. Like,
oh, when I'm like going tired, like on the couch, gonna go possibly go to sleep. Yeah, I'll be grabbing it like a pacifier for my hands.
So weird.
No
Boys
idea
are
why.
Weird.
But it's the truth. So I wish we could give you some great advice on that one, Star, but I say you just got to suck it the fuck up. And you're going to have to take it.
It's just, yeah.
Tell Chris I said what's up.
Yeah, good questions, guys.
All right, well, send them on in. Get us some more. I think we're going to try to go to a format where we record Monday nights once a week. If possible, bonus episodes on Friday nights where we feel like it. Don't expect those. We'll just expect always Monday nights because that's the nights we have free. Don't have a
Sometimes.
Practice or a jiu-jitsu. It's going to be rare that we have anything on Mondays.
Yeah, true.
So that's the best night to record. So we can get on some kind of schedule. Still working on iTunes, trying to get it resolved.
Yeah, that was our reason we didn't record last night.
Their customer service is... subpar for as big as they are. I mean, God, just respond and help a motherfucker out. So,
well,
we should know more on that soon, but either way, it's still where it is, and you can get it. And
on Podbean.
We love you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll holler at y'all later.
Later.
Go fuck yourselves.